Hello, my name is Shifra Revach. Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. Today we'll be learning Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf Lamed Zayin, Chapter 137. This perek is about Klal Yisrael being exiled from Eretz Yisrael by Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian emperor, after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Let's just begin with a few words of introduction about when this perek is said. The Shulchan Aruch or Chaim Siman Aleph says the following: Ra'oy l'chol yarei shamayim sheyehe meitzer v'doeg al chorban Beis HaMikdash. A person should make the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash a part of his life. He should keep memory of the chorban front and center. Based on that, the Shlach HaKadosh says that there's a practice to say our perek, Kuf Lamed Zayin, al Naharos Bavel, before Birchas HaMazon every single day. But since this is a very sad perek, it wouldn't be appropriate to say it on Shabbos or Yom Tov. So instead, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we mention Yerushalayim in a positive context, and we recite or we sing Perek Kuf Chavav, Chapter 126, instead, Shir HaMalos B'Shuv Hashem Mashiv HaTzion. For some reason, the practice on Shabbos is widely known, but the daily practice of saying Perek Kuf Lamed Zayin, our Perek, has mostly been neglected, perhaps except during the 9 days of Av. We say Perek Kuf Lamed Zayin specifically before we eat, to remind ourselves that even though we're going about our daily activities in exile, like eating and drinking, we haven't forgotten our mourning for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech, the primary author of Tehillim, actually lived many years prior to the events that are described in this Perek. In the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin Amr Aleph explains that Hashem showed David HaMelech a prophetic vision of the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and he was moved to write about the future tragedy. The Gemara also notes that David was even shown a vision of Korban by Yesheni, the second temple's destruction, and that is why at the end of the chapter, we'll see how David calls on Hashem to remember the acts of the Bnei Edom, the children of Edom, and to repay them for their terrible treatment of Klal Yisrael as well. We're going to look at this perek through the lens of the Malbim, accompanied by the Medrash on Tehillim. Let's start with Pasuk Aleph. Al Naharos Bavel, by the rivers of Bavel, Sham Yashavnu, there we sat, Gam Bachinu, and we cried, Bizachreinu Es Tzion, when we remembered Tzion. Of course, this image is so familiar to us. It's even been depicted in many paintings. Klal Yisrael on the banks of the rivers of Bavel, completely defeated and bowed before their tormentor Nebuchadnezzar. He marches them into Bavel in chains, stripped of their clothing and their dignity, and we envision Bavel as a dungeon, where Nebuchadnezzar slams the gates and he treats them with cruelty and mistreats them terribly. But the Malbim gives us actually an entirely different perspective on Bavel. The Malbim says our cries in Bavel and our mourning Tzion wasn't because of material losses or terrible deprivation that we experience in exile. It wasn't like that at all. Bavel wasn't a dungeon. It was a beautiful, prosperous, and bountiful land. The Pasuk says, Yashavnu. We could have sat there very comfortably. We were able to settle there permanently, in the words of the Malbim. And we could have had complete material comfort. Once Nebuchadnezzar had Klal Yisrael in his grasp in Bavel, he allowed them, he even enticed them, to enjoy what Bavel had to offer. But in spite of that, Gam Bachinu, we still cried. Bizachreinu Es Tzion, because it was so painful. We remembered the holiness of Tzion, where we had a Beis HaMikdash, where we felt the Shekhinah, the divine presence, and we cried because of the great spiritual wealth that we had lost. Bavel was a beautiful place, but we weren't interested. And that's Pasuk Beis. Al Aravim Bisocha Talinu Kinoroseinu. So the literal translation is, on willows in its midst, willow trees, we hung our harps. When Klal Yisrael left Eretz Yisrael, they took their musical instruments with them into exile. And these are the kinoros that the Pasuk refers to. Al aravim bisocha talinu kinoroseinu. The Malbim explains the word aravim not as willow trees, like the pshat, but as derived from the word arev, which means sweetness. Al aravim bisocha talinu kinoroseinu. In the face of the sweetness that Bavel had to offer, all the material and sensual pleasures that were available to us, we hung up our harps. We rejected it because we weren't interested in enjoying life there. In fact, it was Bavel's success and prosperity that caused us such pain. to see the land of the enemy full of sweetness and pleasure, while Ir Hashem, the city of God, was destroyed and desolate, that was too painful. When Nebuchadnezzar saw Klal Yisrael walking along the banks of the river, he asked them the following, Kisham she'elunu shoveinu divrei shir. There our captors asked us for words of song. V'sololeinu, and our tormentors, Simcha, asked us for amusement. And what did they say? Shiru lanu mishir tzion. So the Medrash tells us the backstory of what happened here. Nebuchadnezzar was watching the exiles from his yacht on the river. Shiru lanu mishir tzion. And that's what he said. He asked Klal Yisrael to play music for him and for his officers. They wanted to be entertained. But he wasn't asking for ordinary songs. He wanted Shirei Tzion, the songs that we used to sing in praise of Yerushalayim. Shiru lanu, sing it to us. Transfer your loyalties from Yerushalayim to Bavel instead. In the words of the Malbim, Ki ata Bavel hilachem eretz achuzaschem kimo Yerushalayim. Now Bavel is your land like Yerushalayim was before. V'hatzlachol shayulachem shama, and the success that you had there, halo yesh lachem imanu, you can have them with us. Umadu alo tashiru al Bavel. And why would you not sing about Bavel, hashir shayisem sharim al Yerushalayim, the song that you used to sing to Yerushalayim? Transfer your loyalties to us. You're not going back to Yerushalayim. So what is Klal Yisrael's response? Pasuk Dalet. Ech nashir ashir Hashem al admas nechar. How can we sing the songs of Hashem on foreign soil? This is a rhetorical question. Can we possibly sing Shir Hashem, holy songs that we used to sing in Yerushalayim, about the Shekhinah, about Nevuah, about Torah, and about all the miracles that took place there? Can we sing that about Bavel, a foreign land that has no such spiritual qualities? The Medrash again tells us a dramatic backstory. When Nebuchadnezzar asked them to sing songs of Tzion to Bavel instead, they all looked at each other and said, "What? We should sing songs of Tzion to Nebuchadnezzar, to Bavel?" And the Medrash tells us that they bit off their thumbs so they wouldn't be able to play their harps any longer. And when Nebuchadnezzar insisted they play, they lifted their hands and said, "Ech nashir, how can we? Nebuchadnezzar, we can't play anymore." And that was a dramatic rejection of the sweetness that Bavel had to offer. Pasuk Hey. Imeshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yemini. So we continue with a very familiar pasuk. Again, a resolution, a statement of how Yerushalayim means so much to us. If I forget Yerushalayim, may my right hand forget its skill. As impossible as it is for me to forget my right hand, it's so intrinsic to me, it's so much a part of me, it's just as impossible for me to forget Yerushalayim, it's so much a part of me as well. Tidbak lishoni lechiki, may my tongue cling to its palate. Imlo es kerechi, if I don't remember you. Imlo a'ale es Yerushalayim al rosh simchasi, if I don't bring Yerushalayim up, raise it above all my joys. Yerushalayim is all I talk about. It's the focus of all my conversations. And if I don't talk about Yerushalayim, I'll be like someone who's mute. When we lose something precious to us, it's all we can think about, it's all we can speak about. That's Yerushalayim for me. And even if I have an occasion to rejoice, imlo a'ale es Yerushalayim al rosh simchasi, the loss of Yerushalayim supersedes any happiness. I can't rejoice fully because there's still a piece of me that I'm missing. And all my joys are tinged with sadness at this tremendous loss. And we know there are a number of customs, dafka, at joyous occasions that are based on these psukim to remind us of the Chorban even at the happiest times. Here the Perek takes an interesting turn. Let's read Pasuk Zayin. Zechor Hashem levnei Edom, es yom Yerushalayim, ha'omrim, aru, aru, ad ha'yisod ba. Remember Yerushalayim, the Bnei Edom, the sons of Edom. The day of Yerushalayim means the day of the destruction of Yerushalayim. On that day, what were they saying? Ha'omrim, they were saying, aru, aru, destroy, destroy, ad ha'yisod ba, until the very foundation. We're asking Hashem to remember Edom on the day of Korban Yerushalayim. If I remember Yerushalayim constantly and mourn for her, you, Hashem, should please remember as well. Specifically, please recall the role that Edom played in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. Either that means that they encouraged and cheered Bavel on with the destruction, Or, while Bavel was the first exile, the first one to destroy Eretz Yisrael, Edom is the last of the exiles and tried to finish what Bavel had started. Pasuk Ches, Bas Bavel Hashduda, Ashrei sheyishalem lach es gmulech shegamalt lanu. Bavel, daughter of Bavel, who's destined to be plundered. In the end, it's going to be destruction for them. Praiseworthy is he who repays you, your gmul, that you paid to us. So the Pasuk is speaking to Bavel, saying the following. Bavel, who will eventually be vanquished by the next empire. When you, Bavel, will be defeated, you'll be repaid not only for the destruction of the Mikdash, but also for gmulech shegamalt lanu. And the Malbim explains, the emotions with which you meted out destruction, they will also be repaid to you. And the final pasuk is very jarring. Ashrei, praiseworthy, sheyochez v'nipeitz o'alayach elasala. Praiseworthy is he who will take and dash your infants against the rock. So that's a jarring pasuk. And just let's understand, if this is the gemul that will be visited upon them, the repayment that they're going to get for their actions, it's in repayment for what they did to Klal Yisrael. So these last two psukim are difficult to understand. Who really needs reminding here of what Bavel and Edom did to us? And how can we understand the harshness of the message? What's the message that this parak is trying to convey? It's really not a reminder to Hashem. Hashem knows, Hashem remembers, Hashem keeps a cheshbon. The reminder is for us. We have to remember Edom. We who live in Galus Edom, where it's nice and it's comfortable, and we're grateful that we live in relative safety. As comfortable as we are and as grateful as we are, we're in danger of forgetting that this is exile and that Yerushalayim is our real home. These people are our captors. And the reason why the Pasuk speaks so harshly about their death and destruction is to remind us that it's happening to them because this is what they did to us. We need to remember this so that we know that we're not truly at home here. This is not where we belong, that we were persecuted here and we have a homeland that we can go back to. When Bavel, or Edom, invites us to become citizens of Chutz La'aretz, to sing her songs, to live in her culture, to admire her heroes and her celebrities, to dance her dances, to adopt her values, we have to say, Ech nashir al admas nechar, how can we sing in a foreign land? Chazal tell us, Kol ha-misabel al Yerushalayim b'churbana, zoche b'ro'eh b'nechamasa. Whoever mourns over Yerushalayim's destruction will merit to see her consolation. May it be very soon. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.